letter turning down an application from Plymouth Brethren Elders, the Charity Commission said, there is no presumption that religion generally or at any more specific level is for the public benefit, even in the case of Christianity or the Church of England. So, Tory MP Peter Bowen has sponsored a private members' bill to reintroduce the presumption that all religious institutions are a public benefit and therefore eligible for charitable status. Do all churches deserve charitable status? Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
So you think we should sort of reinstate this default position that if it's religious, it's good?
Almost.
Almost.
The presumption. The presumption, which is what it was before 2006. And when Ed Miliband actually brought this act through Parliament, he clearly stated that this wouldn't affect any current religious institution. I mean, that act was really aimed at getting at independent schools, not at religions. And unfortunately, the certain secular members of the Charity Commission decided to reinterpret Parliament's will. And I just want to put it back to what Parliament thought it was.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they withheld charitable status from the Church of Scientology in 1999. You would support that position?
What I'm saying is there is a presumption, but if there are sham religions, or religions that in fact are just frauds, then of course that wouldn't apply.
One man's sham religion is another man's, you know.
Ah, well, I thought about that one, you see.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So we're going to be a little cleverer than that. With the private members bill that I, 22nd of March, I think Parliament's going to hear it, and I'm going to see the Minister actually tomorrow on this, is we're going to define public benefit, which is the key in the new Charities Act,
right,
and actually put three stipulations in, that if a religion significantly advances a religion in regard to three tests, then they would be get charitable status. So it's not quite.
Test number one?
Chapter one is if, for instance, you provide, prayer, for instance. If you had prayer open, that's a charitable, that would tick the box.
Two?
If you did social work and education, that would be one. If you provided money to charities, that would be another. And there's a whole series of little tests we're putting in. The problem with the current act is public benefit is not defined, which is how the charity commissioners have been able to reinterpret parliamentary law.
All those three tests could apply to a religion that might believe that some children are possessed by evil spirits, for instance.
Well, you know, I'm always told by lefties that they always believe in freedom of religion, except when actually the question comes, they don't believe in freedom of religion, they actually want a religion to perform in a particular way.
I think a lefty has just gone red.
Quite rightly,
so called. This is not about freedom of religion.
I always say that.
It's not about freedom of religion. This is about religion saying, we want privilege. We want special rights. Believe what you want, because belief is only belief. It's not fact, it's belief. I have no problem with people believing something. I grew up in Liverpool, where some people believe Liverpool the greatest football team in the world. They're wrong, because Everton are.
There was a time they were right.
But that's a belief system. But don't tell me that you want tax breaks. Don't tell me you want special privilege, special position in society, merely because you pray, for heaven's sake. That has to be wrong.
Francis Davis, what's your problem with this? Because, you know, the allegedly exclusive Plymouth Brethren, they've spent over £1 million, it is said, on legal expenses and PR. So it's clearly, this is a valuable prize, charitable status. Why shouldn't they go? I mean, aren't they spreading the word of Christ?
Well, the thing about law in England, Scotland and Northern Ireland is the religion's not just an idea, it takes institutional form. So a religion can choose to be a co-op, a company, a private company, a sole trading company, and some will choose to be a charity. And what comes with that is some financial benefits. And the definition of what constitutes a religion in public benefit has actually been negotiated with the Charity Commission and is agreed and is on their website after a series of process of conversations. And all the mainstream churches live with that and are passing through it successfully. What we've got in every community, though, is a series of fringe groups where the leader of the car has got messed up in the leader of the church's car has got messed up in the accounts, where you can't tell the difference between the accounts of the members, the accounts of the church, where some charities in Northern Ireland might be a front for a terrorist group. And in the case of the exclusive brethren, not the normal Plymouth brethren, who are quite chilled by their sins. In the case of the exclusive brethren, You know, they don't use the internet, they don't let their kids go to university. In Australia and New Zealand, they fund the Conservative Party and involved in...
Oh, no, that's a reason not to support them.
Right, well, no, in that sense, you don't want charitable funds being applied for political purposes that are not transparent because there isn't the scrutiny of a regulator.
You were born into the Plymouth Brethren.
I was.
The exclusive Plymouth.
The exclusive
Brethren, I should
very
say.
Very exclusive Brethren,
yeah.
Yes.
How about, I mean, why should we be worried?
Well, on most issues, I would be entirely in the same place as Peter Bowman. I mean, he and I are, and forgive me, Peter, but we're both right-wing Tories. But I think in the case of the exclusive Brethren, we are talking about I use the word advisedly, a cult, which does more harm to society than it does good. So I am agreeing with Peter that there ought to be a presumption where religious organisations clearly provide public benefits.
What has their leader said? You showed me a bit of paper earlier on, quote from their leader.
Well, their current leader, Bruce Hales, who's an Australian furniture salesman, he, in his ministry, which is published, he says that you should hate the world, hate everything in the world, and hating everything of the world. Now, there are people like Abu Hamza who said similar things, that was he to say that in a public place, that we might consider arresting him. That does not provide a Christian spirit. So for me, Nicky, the exclusive Brethren are one of those very special cases.
How are they towards you now that you are no longer in the Christian, in the exclusive Plymouth Brethren?
Oh, I haven't seen my family since 1980. So I was excommunicated from my family, my job, my home, all the people I've been brought up with 32 years ago. Now, if you can call that Christian, I can't even have a cup of tea with my mother.
You're the lawyer of the exclusive Plymouth Brethren, Julian. Answer this charge of cult.
It's not a term that I recognise from my personal experience of my dealings with them. I think one has to be very careful when one is asking whether something is a religion or not, firstly, not to personalise it. I think you had the same issue in the debate last week about there being an important differentiation between doctrine and practice. But let's move on from that. Secondly, I think that there's a fundamental difficulty here in that things are being said very specifically and out of context, and certainly the ministry I have looked at, particularly that statement, is about the moral separation from evil in the world. It is nothing to do with physical or personal abuse. And I've seen a lot of ministry that speaks very clearly about compassion. So I think we have to be very careful not to take things out of context. Now, what I should also say is, of course, I have not been a member of the Exclusive Brethren. I'm not from within that community. So, of course, I can't talk about Peter's personal experiences because I haven't had them myself.
Richard,
all I can do is say it as I see it.
Quickly about Richard, then, you wanted to come
up. Well, I think, to come back to the key question here, is should all religious organisations have charitable status? Clearly, the presumption ought to be yes. I don't have any problem saying that at all. But there are certain examples, and there are certain cases where the law really has to step in and say that this does not provide public benefit, and actually there is a disbenefit to the wider public.
Any other thoughts, lady over here? Hello.
I have experience with the Plymouth Brethren. My son attended a school.
The exclusive Plymouth Brethren or the Plymouth Brethren?
They were the Brethren, in that I didn't find them to be very inclusive. They take their children home at lunchtime because they cannot eat with other children. My son at 5 years old invited one of his friends, who was the Brethren, to his birthday party.
Is that him, right?
Yeah. And I tried to sort of dissuade my son from inviting this little chap because I knew he wasn't going to come. But we sent the invitation out and sure enough, he didn't come. And I just had to say to Michael, well, he can't come because he can't eat with you. I helped in the class as well as a parent helper, and any activities, educational activities related to the television, I had to sit with this little guy and do other activities. So I find them to be not inclusive, very exclusive. And also in sports day, they're not allowed to partake in sports.
So, I know Chris want to come in and Mohammed as well, but why should, from what we're hearing, if this is right, why should these people get taxpayers' money effectively, Kudibar?
Well, first of all, a lot of things I heard I don't recognise being true, in fact. But the point, if you're going to have religious freedom, if you believe religion should be allowed to do certain things, I mean, we like saying...
You can say the same thing as Abu Hamza, can't you?
I think that's a really good point. And my view is, if you're a terrorist, you should be arrested under terrorist laws. You shouldn't have charitable status taken away from you. If you're a paedophile, you should be arrested for paedophilia, not having charitable status taken away from you.
Yeah, the trouble with a regulator like the Commission, though, is it's probably going to be one of the first to be able to identify through the balance sheets and the cash flows that there is a risk to security from a particular religious community. That's why it used to have a specialist unit that tracked those parts of religious communities that were a security risk. And that was cut when the newer government arrived in power.
Chris Sugden, where would you draw the, and Mohammed, I know you're dying to come in, where would you draw the public benefit line, Chris?
Well, I think we need a bit of a historical perspective first. The presumption was that any religion is better than no religion when the charity laws were set up originally.
1600.
Under the original Charity Acts, so many charities.
The context is 1600.
Okay, that's fair enough. In that context, religion was presumed to be the Church of England or, established.
And was presumed to be good.
I think the issue about public benefit. The issue about public benefit is who's going to say what it is? Who's going to define it? We've already had the situation that, because of various procedures, the Catholic adoption agencies have closed down because they've been put in a position to say, we can't do what we want to do because of the way public benefit or the law is now defined. That seems to be the problem. And I think the situation which we should have is that it's innocent till proved guilty. You have a situation where the churches provide 27 million person hours of voluntary work outside the churches a month. It's costed out to reckon about £3.5 billion mm-hmm. to the UK economy.
Right.
Here are people volunteering.
The Druid Network got it to 2010. Do you approve of that?
I think that the issue that Peter has said that there should be a number of tests looked at, but again, innocent.
Sounds like a no to me.
I said innocent to prove guilty, till proved guilty. I think that the point about saying yes, you can investigate, you can look at, but the idea that people should have to prove various things beforehand, it seems to me would indeed
be better. I'm going to make a point here. In the last 12 months, 1,175 religious organisations got charitable status from the Charity Commission. One was refused. That is the Preston Down case in Torquay. So if this is a conspiracy by a left-wing charity commission, they're doing a pretty poor job of it.
No, you're wrong. I'm not wrong, I'm sorry. Yes. Kevin, you want to come back in?
People do a huge amount of good things in the world. They have a lot of good feeling for their fellow men. They don't need religion to achieve that. They do it because they just are Christians. I'm a psychotherapist and psychologist. I'm one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. I'm so pleasant to people. I don't ask for a tax break for that. I don't ask for special privilege for doing that.
The point is, the churches are the largest voluntary organisation in this country, bar none.
Yes,
bar
they are.
And then number two, the issue is not that they get tax breaks, is that they shouldn't be taxed for it. That's the point.
No.
They're giving their time voluntarily, they're giving their money voluntarily. Why do you then put a tax? It's hard enough to get leaders...
They've got corporations, they don't pay income tax, they get tax relief on donations.
It's hard enough to get leaders for many of our youth organisations at the moment. It's hard enough for those things. Why put an extra hurdle?
But it's hard enough to get work as a psychotherapist, as a counsellor. Yeah. I get taxed at source for doing that. Nobody says to me, you know what, you're doing really good work out there, you're making a real difference to people's lives, we'll give you a bit back for that. They don't do that. They take it. And I have a fundamental problem, and that is that a church might do some good things, and I have no doubt that some churches do some terrifically good things, but that's not the whole of the enterprise. They're saying we want special rights and special financial breaks for the whole of the enterprise. So if you've got a church and you run a soup kitchen, I have no problem that soup kitchen being ring-fenced and declared a charity and attracting that. But that's the whole of this. is
okay,
tax-free.
Okay, don't worry about that. Mohammed, then we've got David to bring in.
Yes. What if we were to say that their particular religious views, which were actually bad for public, so for example, the Catholic Church saying that contraceptives as condoms are bad, that's serious, that has serious repercussions in Africa. I mean, people die because of that.
It's a subjective.
And I'm not to say that they're bad organisations, I'm just saying there's particular views, which, if they were a charity, wouldn't be supported.
Yeah,
there are many things. The other side
of that debate. Also, I think that, like, we're speaking about tax in such a negative way, I think that's quite a common thing to do, but actually tax is effectively a pot for everyone, and that needs to be taken into account as well. It's part of the payment of every individual towards the greater society. So
should we have, Sir Mohammed, should we have this presumption that all religions are good for society, thereby they should get tax breaks?
I think some of we need to recenter the debate on this issue, I think. And first off, the Charities Act recognises, I think, under Clause 3, that advancement of religion is considered to be a public benefit, and certainly is at least a benefit for the people and the members of that religion.
We would agree with that.
So I think, first off, if the Charity Commission, or members within the Charity Commission, have decided to move away from that and introduce a new interpretation, or an interpretation contrary to what the statute says, I think that's a grave concern, and that's an issue of the legislative responsibility and the powers that we give our parliamentarians to do it right. But I think
was it 1,200, 1,400, is 1,000 Christian or Christian-related religions in 2012 and 400 from other religions that achieved charitable status?
But I think secondly, we have a very great, I think there's a serious concern which is coming out today, where people are beginning to talk about good religion and bad religion, and creating some kind of benchmark. Now, I know that there's a...
There's an ignoble litany of hucksters and con men in religion,
But we have at the minute an unofficial parliamentary committee which has come together, and I think from the... and perhaps our legal friend can give us more advice, but I think from the latest directions hearing in relation to the Plymouth Brethren case, they've said we'll take anonymous evidence from people. And so effectively what this unofficial parliamentary committee, and Baroness alone I think is involved in this, has said, well, we will call for evidence from ex-members of the Plymouth Brethren to ask if you've been mistreated.
Baroness Berridge, I think.
I think there are a number of people involved in this. And they've said, well, what we'll do is we will take evidence from people, anecdotal evidence, and ask people, have you suffered harm? And if you've suffered harm, this is going to be somehow collated together and used to attack religious organisations, and I think that is a very, very dangerous
way. Specific religious organisations.
That's not true at all. That's not what's happening. What's happening in this?
The direction papers are out.
I'm aware of them. I read them. I wrote the story about them. So in this situation, what you've got is a situation where you've got some rules about public benefit. Now, that bar is set extremely low. The suggestion that Peter Bone is saying is already enshrined in law. In order to
make
some public benefit,
you're wrong.
You've just got to do
absolutely
something
wrong.
Useful. Well, there is a rule that
why
says...
Why would you bring a bill to change something that already exists?
Well, I mean, if at the moment the... the law that you're introducing effectively replicates the test that the Charity Commission already carries out to discover whether an organisation is for the public benefit. In fact, the bar that you're setting, I think, is higher than the public benefit test
that
the Charity Commission already applied. No, I'm not going to support you because I think the important thing is that there's one rule for everybody. Now, every religious organisation, every charity in this country currently has to do the same thing. It has to prove its public benefit in the same way. There are the same rules.
The public benefit isn't defined. That is the problem.
Well, the public benefit... Parliament had a look at whether to define the public benefit, and it decided it was so complex, so difficult, so many different organisations providing so many different benefits.
But that's not correct now, because my bill had the biggest second biggest parliamentary majority this century, and I had people as different as Dennis Skinner and Nick Soames voting for that bill. No, Parliament clearly thinks the Charity Commission has reinterpreted what Parliament...
I'm afraid that there's
we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you all very much for taking part in that particular debate. You can continue that one online. Log on to bbc.co.uk/thebigquestions. Follow the link to the online discussion. And send us your views about our last big question. Does hell exist?
And if you'd like to be in the audience at a future show, you can email audiencetbq@menton.tv. We're in St Albans next week, Londonderry on March the 10th, and York the week after that. Matthew chapter 25 reveals how the Son of Man will come in all his glory, surrounded by the holy angels, and will divide the nations of the world. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. The sheep will go to heaven, the goats are destined for hell, a place of everlasting fire and eternal punishment designed by God for Satan and his demons. Does hell exist, Liz Weston?